Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses.
Thank you, Ellie. This morning's gospel lesson will be shared by Josh.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you, Josh. Noah liked it. Up and said, "Praise God," and started pointing. many people in the audience were Christian, and they were Christian, and they were Christian, and they were Christian. It's like, this doesn't seem right. We got to get out of here before he points to us, in case we, maybe we're not Christian enough to be in this group. But all through this guest preacher kept saying, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us. And it's like, I have never been so uncomfortable in my whole life. I love God and I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I sure didn't understand it at that point. So, I went online to the United Methodist Church website. And what I found out was, and hopefully Wes, you can tell me about this, did you know that there's a United Methodist Members Handbook? I did not know that. In all the years I've been to church, been a Methodist, I did not know that there was a United Methodist Members Handbook. So I asked this handbook, what's the Holy Spirit? And this is the answer from the United Methodist Handbook. The Holy Spirit is God's present activity in our midst. Where we sense God's leading, God's challenge, or God's support, or God's comfort, we say it's the Holy Spirit at work. In Hebrew, the words for spirit, wind, and breath are nearly the same. And the same is true in Greek. In trying to describe God's activity among them, the ancients were saying that it was like God's breath, like a sacred wind. It could not be seen or held. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, from John 3. But the effect of God's Spirit, like the wind, can be felt and known. So where do we find evidence of the Spirit at work? In the Bible, the Spirit is mentioned often. In Genesis, a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, as in taking part in the creation. And later, in the Old Testament, we often read of the Spirit of the Lord. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And after his resurrection, Christ told his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And a few weeks later, on the day of Pentecost, this came to pass. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. As the book of Acts and Paul's letters attest, from that time on, the early Christians were vividly aware of God's Spirit leading the new church. We find the Spirit in guidance, comfort, and strength. Today we continue to experience God's breath and God's Spirit. As one of our creeds puts it, we believe in the Holy Spirit. God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We sense the Spirit in time alone, perhaps in prayer, perhaps when we study the Scriptures, in reflection on a difficult decision or in the memory of a loved one. The Spirit's touch is intensely personal. Perhaps we're even more aware of the Holy Spirit in a community of believers, such as this congregation, or in a church school class, or a fellowship group, or working in the kitchen, or working on a planning committee, at a prayer meeting, or with your family. Somehow the Spirit speaks through the thoughtful and loving interaction of God's people. The Holy Spirit who brought the church into being is still guiding and upholding us. It will guide us all if we but listen. The Holy Spirit is in the gifts that we receive. So how does the Holy Spirit affect our lives? By changing us, by renewing us, by strengthening us for the work of ministry. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. What sort of fruit? Paul asserts that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In gifts, Paul also writes that the Spirit bestows spiritual gifts on believers. In 1 Corinthians, he lists 9, which vary from one person to another. So you have the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, you have faith, you have healing, you have the working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirit, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of such. These fruits and gifts are not of our own achievement. They and others are the outgrowth of the Spirit's work in us.
By grace through our faith in Jesus Christ, and they are not given for personal gain. Through these fruits and gifts, the Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry in the world. So at this time, I thought it would kind of neat to see what kind of gifts of the Spirit are amongst this congregation.
Invoke them this day for the great work of mending the world.